But today, we're going to get into the Word, looking at faith once again. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at faith. And today, as we are in faith, as being here, if you are here with us today, whether it's here in our sanctuary or here with us on the internet, the one thing I want us to understand is that faith is the key that opens the door of impossibilities. And to show you that and to bring us to that first thought, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews in chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 5, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6. And the reason that I want us to go here is because it legitimately tells us exactly what faith does in our lives. And it uses a person who was so faithful that they never died. It is appointed unto men to die once, and then the judgment. This man never died. His name was Enoch. From the 5th verse, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read these words. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. As we think about what was going on here with Brother Enoch, and we're all going to get to meet him one day. Here's this gentleman who has not died yet. And I believe, as do so many other theologians, that in the end there are going to come two men who are going to be witnesses in the end time. Because those two witnesses are yet alive. And they are going to come back to testify to all of us for days. And then they will die, but then they will be resurrected. Can anybody tell me when that's going to happen? In the tribulation. These are the two witnesses that will be brought to earth and they will die. Who are the two witnesses? There are only two people who went to heaven and didn't die. Enoch and Elijah. So I want you to think about that. These two men, it is appointed unto men to die, and they have not died yet. Because their witness, their testimony was so strong, their faith was so strong, God took them to be a witness yet. That's how strong faith is. Faith opens the doors to impossibilities. And I want us to remember that. I want you to hold on to that. Because you have one of the most powerful things in your being, and it is called faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we who live by faith, not by sight, are pleasing in God's sight. I want you to turn with me to Mark in the 10th chapter. Because the Lord Jesus had some things to say about faith. And I want us to understand this. I want to build on this thought. Because without building on the thought, I can say a whole lot of stuff. And whether I'm right or not doesn't matter. What matters is the Scripture confirming? And am I bringing what I am telling you out of the Scripture? Because if I'm not bringing it to you from God's Word, you don't need to hear it because it's probably something made up by man. Amen? And I don't want us to make up anything. God has given us everything. So all we need to do is apply what God has given us. From the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, we're going to begin in the 17th verse. And we're going to read a story here. It's going to be 10 verses. But in these 10 verses, there's something that is so important for us to understand. Because it'll show us how faith opens the doors. It says, as he was setting out from verse 17, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, One thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were even more astonished and said to him, Then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus was just speaking there to each and every one of us as he spoke to each and every one of them. He has been speaking to everyone. You and I cannot do anything to get into heaven. You know, I have to laugh because one of the things that many people have talked about over the years is understanding that camel through the needle's eye, okay? And there's a story that there's a gate over in Jerusalem, and it's a real low gate, and it's just a small gate. In order for a camel to go through it, they got to get down on their knees and go through the gate. No. Jesus was talking figuratively. He was talking about a needle. How big is a needle? Okay? Can you put a camel through the needle of an eye? You're
gonna need a blender.
It's impossible to get a camel through the eye of a needle. All right? Impossible. But God says, with me, all things. Do you have faith to believe? God spoke the worlds into existence. Do we have the faith to believe? God said, let there be light, and it was total darkness, and he became the light of the world. When we think about what our faith is, because our faith is a gift of God, that is a supernatural power placed upon us to believe and to receive power, because without faith there is no such thing as power, for in faith we believe. Our world has no faith, therefore everything evolved. It was a cosmic accident, okay? By faith, we believe there is a cause, and his name is God Almighty, Yahweh. He is the power behind everything, and the faith that we have in him allows that power to be placed upon us to do the things that only God can do in our world. God can save us from ourselves. We are dead in our sins, and there is nothing that can save us. Because God is holy and righteous, and there is nothing we could do to save ourselves. It amazes me because people think, but God gave the law, and they were able to kill bulls and goats and calves, and you know, that cleansed the people of their sins. Let me ask you this, how long did that cleansing last? Till they sinned again. In other words, while they were yet standing there with their hands on the head, they were in their sins already. Because your mind is a terrible thing to waste, and we all waste it in sinful thoughts. It's so amazing to me. We are so drenched in sin that the moment they were cleansed, they were dirty again. How many of you come in here on, and I want you to think about this. I'm not nagging on you. I'm not pointing fingers, because if I point at you, there's three pointing back at me, right? How many of you, the day you were here, we take communion, we're all cleansed, we're all ready to rock and roll, and before we make it out of the parking lot, we have sinned? Because that jerk just cut me off. Did you see that? Or because we can't make it out the door half days. God knows that. So he has given us faith. He says, nothing is impossible with me. All you have to do is believe. Believe what? Believe in his son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen? Amen. Believe that he paid a price that we couldn't pay. Believe. If you can believe that, I will pour faith into you. And by that faith, you are going to have the power of the Almighty in and with you. That's called the Holy Spirit. Do you see how all this ties up? As soon as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are given faith. That's the full measure of God unto each and every one of us. We learned that last week. And then we're to grow into that full measure. How many of us understand the full measure right now? I don't even understand the half measure. I don't even know the questions I'm supposed to ask. And we think we got it all figured out, right? I'm not going to get it figured out until he tells me. And he's not going to do that until we are face to face. And then it's going to take eternity for me to understand it. That's the reality that we live in now. That's the power that we live in now by faith. And Jesus here wants us to understand that God is the only one who can open this door. If God opens the door, what then are we able to do? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're looking at chapter 17. Matthew 17. We're going to begin in the 14th verse. We all know these stories that I'm reading, don't we? We all know these stories. And we get them often in our lessons and what have you. And you know, most of us have read the New Testament several times. And so it's not new to us. But yet we need to be reminded of just where we are, what faith does, and how powerful faith is. Because without faith, if we're not walking in faith, and this is funny because as we are in Christ Jesus, we have the power of faith. But do you know we can shut it off? How many of you have ever lost your car keys? Did you do it on purpose? Okay? Neither do we put our faith away on purpose. Life happens and we lose our faith. It's lost to us because all these other things have crowded us and we're not seeing God. We're not looking to God. But I want you to learn something new. Let's read this. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Now, how many of you would like to hear Jesus say that to you? I want you to think about this. You know, we often read over this stuff and we think, well, he's saying that to them. He's not saying that to me. No, he's saying those words to you. Say that. He's saying those words to me. We are a perverted generation. We are an unbelieving people. Because in the streams of life, when stuff is pouring down on us, we believe more in that stuff than we do in the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? Because we lost our key. Do you get my point? We lost our key. We can't find it. Well, guess what? The awesome thing is, Dad has it for us. All we have to do is turn to him, and he'll give it right back to you. He knows where it is. He holds it. He is the key, and all we have to do is turn to him. That's what Jesus was telling those people here. I'm right here with you. Couldn't you even believe while I was out of your midst for a moment? The answer is no. Because in sin, we allow the world to pour in upon us. And our sin takes over. Okay? That sin nature takes over. And we lose our key so often, so many times. And we forget. All we got to do is ask Dad for the key. And guess what? He's going to give you the key. He's already given it to you. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that before the creation of the world. But we have to remember to ask for it. You know, it's kind of like us guys. How many times when we're lost, guys, will we stop and ask for directions? Aren't we glad we have GPSs now? We never have to stop again. That's what I like it when the GPS tells you where to go and it goes to the wrong place. We have one to trust in because there's one true key, and that key is Jesus Christ. From verse 18, and Jesus rebuked him being the demon, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, let's wrap our heads around this. I can go outside at this very moment, and if I have faith, I can say to North Mountain, I want you to go and sit on top of South Mountain, and it's going to happen, right? Isn't that what Jesus just said? I got one elder shaking his head no. The rest of you are looking at me with smirks on your face. Jesus was using a metaphor. He was using a word picture to teach us something. How many of you have mountains in your lives? And those mountains are the things that we allow to get this big. And God says, if by faith you believe in me, I will say to you, say to that mountain, whatever it is in your life, be removed from me and it will go away. Because not that the situation's going to go away, but the fear of it, the control it has over you, all of those things are going to disappear, and you are going to be able to get through whatever it is by faith, believing that God is in control, and everything that happens has a nature that which God is using to teach you, to grow you, and to make you become the person that God wants you to become. I'm standing in front of you because I'm the greatest orator in the world. I'm standing in front of you because God called Richard Dubbs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, a no-name kid from a no-name town, to preach the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by faith, I said, yes, Lord, use me. And here I am. I'm just one guy. And I'll tell you right now, God will use you to move mountains in other people's lives. I've told the story of Sister Missy down in St. Peter's, and I have no idea if she knows that these things are out there, but I pray this reaches her somehow, that she can remember how God healed her. I'll never forget it. We were having a dinner theater, and she was in the kitchen. She was doing dinner, and I was playing Tiny Tim. We were doing the what's that called, the Christmas Carol? Can you believe I was Tiny Tim? It was a play on words. And their son, who at that time was about 8 years old, came up to me in the back steps of the church that led into the sanctuary, because that's where we made our entrances coming out for the play. And I had like 5 minutes, and I was going to be on stage. And he came to me, and he was bawling. And he said, Pastor, he said, we got to pray. My mom just burned her hands. She was getting a tub of mashed potatoes out of a roasting pan, and they had water in it, so when she lifted it, the steam rolled up, and it burnt her hands. She had second-degree blisters on her hands instantly from the hot steam. You know how hot one of those things can get. And he's crying. And he said, you got to pray for my mom. You got to pray for my mom. And the Lord moved in my spirit. I got a 5-minute curtain call. And the Lord moved in my spirit. And there's 20-some people below me on the steps. And I said, everybody move. And they all got over. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. They never listened to me before. Everybody got over, and we went back down the steps, walked through the dining room into the kitchen, and she's standing there in tears with her hands wrapped in wet towels. And I went up to her, and because I didn't touch anybody. The Lord said, don't touch anybody, go. And I went up to her, and I said, miss, I said, give me your hands. And she said, oh, they hurt. I said, give me your hands. And I grabbed her hands, and I prayed. I said, now go home and put them in ice water. And she just looked at me. I said, go home and put them in ice water. She went home. She put them in ice water. The next day was Sunday. She came into church with her hands all bandaged up. They were waiting for me. I come in, I was down teaching, I come in, we were in the sanctuary, and Missy said, I want everybody to see this. She said, last night I burnt my hands, you all saw it, I had blisters on my hands. She said, Pastor Rich prayed for me, told me to go home and put them in ice water. I did. Her husband unwrapped her hands. They were as whole as mine are now. Faith moves mountains, not just your mountains, but faith can move other people's mountains if you have the heart to believe, if you have the desire in your heart to be used of God and to allow that faith to move you to Him. You can open the doors of impossibility. God has given you that power, but you have to apportion it to yourself, and not by your will, but His in you. As God tells you to move, you move. If God says stand, you stand. If God says no, you don't. If God says yes, you do. That's the way it works. We can move the mountains of our own lives and the lives of others if we as a people will believe by faith. But you have to have the heart to do that. There's a whole community out here that you know, I talk to so many people and they call themselves Christians. They don't attend church anywhere. Their relationship with Jesus is generally when they're cussing at somebody. But yet they'll say they're a Christian. Folks, those people were headed to hell because they have believed a lie. And we know the truth. This is not an easy life. Being a Christian is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but it is the most worthwhile thing I will ever endeavor towards. I am so amazed. You know, I think about what it cost God, what He did for us. I mean, this is just stupidity, okay? My wife was watching a cartoon of the Nativity. It was from the view of the donkey, okay? And I don't know, what was the name of it? The star, okay? And it was about the donkey that carried Mary, okay? I'm watching this stupid cartoon, and I see the birth of Christ, okay? Watching this stupid cartoon, and I'm crying. I'm crying. Because even though it was a cartoon, my faith is so wrapped around that reality that my God, loved me so much that He came down from heaven to become like me, to die. For no other reason, to die for me. When I saw that stupid cartoon, my faith met it. And it meant so much to me. Because it's real. It's not a cartoon in my mind. It's real. He is real. And I'm willing, and I'm able, because He lives right here. My faith is real. Nobody can take it away. I'm not about to lose this key. It's the most precious key I own, because it unlocks the impossibilities of God in my life. And I don't want to walk in the impossible. I want to walk in the possible. And that's where God has us, if we will believe by faith. Turn to my last scripture. I want you to go to James chapter 2. The book of James. How many of you love the book of James? The book of James will convict you upon conviction, because the book of James truly, truly, truly is the book of being. And it just amazes me. James chapter 2. I had a professor at Lancaster Bible College, and he said, and I love the way he put it. He said, James is the book I love to hate. And James is the book I hate to love. He said, because James is the book that convicts me the most that I'm not doing what I need to do as a Christian. Because God has a to-do for us. We are not saved by works, amen. But God has works for us to perform. And that's what we're going to learn here. That's what we're going to see from verses 14 through 19. From verse 14 in the second chapter of James, it says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' and yet you do not give being by itself. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." That's the point. That last phrase is the point that each and every one of us needs to remember. People who have no works, people who have what they call a faith, oh, they believe in God, but they have no works. That last sentence should teach us something. For even the demons believe there is a God, and at least they tremble. We who are alive in this world, if God apportions to us faith and we do not use it, okay, and this is one of the things I tell people often. If you don't use it, you will lose it. It's just like any other muscle in your body. If you stop walking, within months, your legs will atrophy to the point that you won't be able to walk. We all know that as we get older, because we can't do the things we used to could. Because the body wears out, and the more it wears out and the less you do, the less you will do. That's why it's so important to keep active in your physical body. God has given us this physical body to teach us spiritual truth. And the spiritual truth is this: if you are not out there doing the works that God has apportioned for us to do, then your faith is dead, because you have not allowed it to come to life in your own life. We need, by faith, to be out there doing the work of God, whatever it may be. You know, I hear a lot of people saying to me, "Oh, but I help in the church. I do things at the church." Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you do, because we need you here in the church. This is part of the faith family. But guess where your works will be done? Out there. Because that's where you're going to make known whether or not you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ. For any of us who is ashamed of God before men, God will be ashamed of us before his angels in heaven. I want you to think about that. There are many people who come into the church and they raise their hands and they're singing hallelujah. They'll even dance for the Lord. But they walk out those doors, it's like they put on another suit. You have no idea they're a Christian. They have absolutely no Christian works outside the Church of Jesus Christ. I feel for those people. They may make it in. I'm not the judge, okay? I do know that there's different levels of heaven because, you know, we understand that in the end, we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or chapter 3, verses 10 through, I'm not sure how far, but it tells us in there that in that final day, what we have done will be proved by fire, and whether we have built with wood, hay, stubble, or straw, or wood, hay, and stubble, yeah, or precious stones, gold, and silver, it's going to be refined by fire, and we're going to find out what's there. And guess what? Even if there are no precious stones, but we're still there to be judged, there's going to be a bunch of ash. There is a smoking section in heaven. You all ought to be tired of me saying that by now. There is a smoking section in heaven, and that's where those of us who have been proved by fire and have no good works, that's where we're going to be. But I hate to say that there are going to be far others who are smoking for all eternity because they're going to be in the lake of fire because they did not know God. Remember what Jesus spoke. He said to those who said, "Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. Away from me, I never knew you." I mean, those people had works. They just didn't have any faith. We have faith, so therefore we ought to have that's called the fruit on the tree. If somebody were to look at your tree, is there fruit? If we were to take you into a court of law, would there be enough evidence in your life to prove you guilty of being a Christian? There's a thought for you. You know, I think about the people during the Black Plague in Rome. It says in the history books that even the emperor left Rome at that time because Rome was so filled with the plague that they wanted out, and everybody left. The emperor left, okay? Remember, Rome was the capital of the world at that time, and Nero left Rome. But the Christians poured into Rome, the very people that he had been persecuting. And he said, who are these people that are going back into such a mess? You know, they're going to die. Why are they even going back? And it was told to him, it was reported to him, they're the Christians. They're going in to help those who are in need. He said, but they'll die. They aren't worried about that. They want to help those who are in need. Christians did die from the plague. And they received their reward in heaven. How many of us are willing to die to the things of this world to receive our treasures in heaven? Faith is the key that unlocks the door to impossibilities. One of the impossibilities is you and I leading people to Christ. I have heard it said, and we have put flowers on the altar, and we have said, you know, oh, you know, the Lord allowed me to lead so-and-so to faith. You know, oh, I saved so-and-so. Who did what? You see, that's a privilege that we have because God resides in us. That through us, God would save others. Because now we're giving away the key. Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. What do you think the keys to the kingdom are? Faith. There's one key. It's faith. Love. And hope. Because through faith, we share our love of God and give the hope of Jesus Christ to every person that we can. Faith is the key that opens the door to impossibilities. Are you ready to use your key to help somebody else unlock their doors of prison, their prison of sin? And death. That, my dear brothers, is the work that James is talking about. One work, the work of salvation through the church of Jesus Christ. One work. Jesus didn't say go do a multitude of things. What did he say? Go, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One thing, one command. The question is, are we ready to go? Are we ready to use our key? Would you pray with me this day? Gracious Father, what we have learned today is such an important lesson for each and every Christian to understand. Because, Lord, the truth of the matter is, many of us have misplaced our key, and we need to find it again. So, Lord, right now, for those of us who have misplaced it, we're calling and we're asking, Dad, do you know where the key is? And we know your answer, Father. So we pray, Lord, that through the conviction of your Holy Spirit, that you would grant us that faith, that we would be the people who live by faith and who move by faith, understanding and knowing that you are God alone. Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us, because truly, when we walk in faith, we have the victory over sin and death, and that a gift from you, our Father in heaven. Blessed be your name, now and forevermore. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.